The America that we are living in right now is not a free America.
We're better than the petty differences that are played against the true power force in this country, the American people, by an elite government determined to keep control. Good evening, everyone. It is Saturday, June 6th. Welcome to another episode of the Not Free America Radio Podcast. I am your host, Mike Donovan, and our phone number is 855-925-2833, 855-925-2833. If you or someone you know has had their rights violated and you want to speak to an attorney, that's the number to call. We fund a law firm and we will get your information over to that law firm so that attorneys can speak to you. And if you want to move forward and the attorney agrees that you have a case, then they can take your case and you don't have to pay them to do that. That's what we do. 855-925-2833, website notfreeamerica.com. Folks, you know, we have been talking about qualified immunity, and it's a really, really important topic. But sometimes I think even in a time like now, when we really need to be focused on it, you can spend too much time on the particularities of a particular issue and get lost in the weeds. And I want to take a step back and just ask the question that, oftentimes gets asked in presidential election years, which is sort of the what if question, right? But this is 2020. This is the year of the coronavirus and the civil unrest and and all the craziness that's happened. So every presidential election year, I know I personally sit around and wonder what ifs, right? I can think back to when I was, you know, the first presidential election I really remember being engaged in was the 1992 presidential election. And I remember collecting signatures for Ross Perot as a child. I was a little kid walking around the neighborhood collecting signatures. I was so excited about it. I would go home from school and watch Ross Perot set at his desk with his little pinpointers and talk about charts that said things that I didn't even understand, but I knew that I was interested in this process. And so it got me excited. But I imagined at that time, what happens if Ross Perot wins? What happens if Ross Perot takes enough of a foothold to make a difference in the election? And whoa, he did. And then we had President Bill Clinton, who changed the course of American history for sure in a lot of really weird, freaky ways. But hey, it's true. And so, you know, weird things happen and they do sometimes sway elections. And so that's why we always ask the question. But today, and you know, in my lifetime, we've seen some interesting things, haven't we? We saw Bush v. Gore, a presidential election decided at the Supreme Court. But I think 2020 has the possibility of being a very, very odd year. For example, we are in the throes of a presidential campaign, but you would not know it. You would not know it because, of course, we've been hiding under our beds because of the coronavirus. And now we're watching the world pour out into the streets. We're watching the media encourage the protest. I encourage the protest. I think the protests are a wonderful idea. But this is the same media that told you you couldn't go to Safeway and to get your hair cut. So I really understand how this works, but let's just go with it, okay? So, you know, in this presidential election, though, of course, we have a potential, you know, resurgence of the coronavirus, although that seems, it seems distant now, given everything that we've been dealing with. But we know that we had 1,000 coronavirus cases today, so in the United States. So it is certainly a possibility. So in resurgences, some states decide that they're going to cancel their elections. What happens if a state doesn't know who won? Let's say, for example, you have a state that cancels an election and you have a Democratic governor who wants to certify a board of electors, and you have a Republican legislature that wants to certify a board of electors. What happens? Well, interestingly enough, there's a law in the federal books that deals with it. And this actually happened in Hawaii, and after the Civil War, it happened quite frequently. And so the idea is that Congress then becomes, well, so the Congress then becomes responsible for determining which is the appropriate elector. We still, or the which is the appropriate board of electors or slate of electors. It is therefore presumable that the will of the Congress, meaning that if it's majority Democrat, would vote for the Democratic slate of electors, seems realistic. But what happens if we don't get to 270 electoral votes what happens if elections are shuttered in some states? What happens if we get to January 20th and we don't have a new president? Well, Section 1 of the 20th Amendment is clear on this. It states that no term of the president, that the term of the president shall end at noon Eastern time on January 20th. If there's no election, presumably there is no president or vice president after that date and time. The vacancy would then be filled by Article 2, Section 1, Clause 6 of the Constitution, which is the president, and along with the Presidential Succession Act, and that would presumably hand the presidency to the House Speaker, who would presumably still be Nancy Pelosi. Now, that is unlikely to imagine that if we got to a place to where there was an interruption in a presidential election, that we would then get to January 20th and somehow see Republicans and Donald Trump hand off power to Nancy Pelosi, who hadn't been elected. So if we get to any place like that, we already have a constitutional crisis, and we could end up with two governments. Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 2 entrusts state legislatures with the authority to select the presidential electors. Did you know that? In fact, the Supreme Court in Bush v. Gore said, and I quote, "Individual citizen has no federal constitutional right to vote for electors for the president of the United States unless and until the state legislature chooses a statewide election as the means to implement its power to appoint members to the Electoral College." Folks, the state doesn't even have to let you vote. There's no guaranteed vote. Your state gets to vote. And that state can vote with its legislature, and that state can vote with its governor appointing electors. There's no guarantee that you have a right to vote. During the Bush v. Gore debacle, the Florida legislature, which was Republican-led, strongly considered electing Republican electors to go vote for Bush. You could have imagined a situation where you could have had a slate of Democratic electors and a slate of Republican electors, and then you've got a constitutional crisis. So let's imagine that we end up in a situation where we have several states that do not have elections because of the coronavirus, because of civil unrest, or because of whatever new calamity is about to befall us in 2020, locust invasion or whatever it is. So let's just imagine that you end up in a situation where we aren't able to have elections in these states. The state legislatures or the governors can pick the electors. Now, we know it takes 270 electoral votes to win the presidency, right? And we know that 21 states have a Republican trifecta where they control both houses of the legislature and the governorship. Democrats have the trifecta in 15 states. So 21 states are fully ruled by Republicans. 15 states are fully ruled by Democrats. Now, if you assume in those 36 states the straight party line vote of the legislature, that would award electoral votes by party. And that would start us off with Donald Trump with 216 and Joe Biden with 195. This is what happens if the United States cancels its presidential election. The state legislatures would then jump into play. The remaining states, that 14 of them, Alaska, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Vermont, and Wisconsin become your swing states. And those 14 states, Alaska, Kentucky, Massachusetts, since when has Massachusetts mattered in a presidential election? Montana, are you kidding me? What a paradigm shift that would be to throw into the election the monkey wrench of completely changing the states that would therefore be your bellwether, your important states to win in this type of situation where you have legislatures choosing the president of the United States. Add to that even more that in several of these states, you have legislatures with enough of a margin for a majority to override the governor. You could have a situation where a board of electors is appointed, it's vetoed by the governor and then overridden. Or perhaps not. and that makes it a little harder to determine what would likely happen. But that would likely move Kansas and Kentucky's electoral votes to Trump, because Republicans control both houses of the legislature in those states. And that would give Trump 230 electoral votes. You can easily move Maryland and Massachusetts, obviously, to Biden, along with the D.C. votes, the D.C. electoral votes. And he would have 216, 230 to 216. And that's going to leave 10 states with 92 electoral votes left. And how might those remaining votes go in those states? If we assume a compromise in each state, so we look at what they proportionally, based on congressional districts, split the electoral votes in each state based on having two senators. That adds 10 electoral votes to each candidate, okay? So that's just, it's just assuming that they split halfway. That's Trump 240, Biden 226. Now you distribute the electoral votes in the remaining 10 states following the congressional voting patterns in 2016. Now, I know we're pulling stuff out of thin air, but this is what we can use, right? So if you use those congressional voting patterns of those 72 congressional districts, and now the presidential election is being decided by 72 congressional districts in 10 states. Trump won 50 in 2016 and Hillary Clinton won 22. If you award these in the same or similar nature, that would mean that Trump would beat Biden in 2020 with 290 electoral votes to Biden's 248. If the people do not vote, Trump wins. I don't see the electoral math for it to go any other way. And that presents an interesting question, doesn't it? The President of the United States, if the election is canceled, can't lose. Interesting. Let's see what happens. You know, it's interesting to see, and I want to kind of leave you with this. We have gone through the throes of 3 months of hell in dealing with the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And we see an American spring, almost, of an uprising of people of color, young people, old people, white people, black people, all kinds of people getting together and standing up against police misconduct and government abuse. It's a beautiful thing. It's an absolutely beautiful thing. But as we watch it happen, might I just point out to you that just a few weeks ago, we were talking about how churches had to be canceled and how we couldn't go to restaurants and how we were all about to die. And now we're having huge rallies, and the same media that told us that we had to climb under our beds in the same government is the same media in the same government encouraging now. And so I ask you, let us resolve to stop reacting to the whims of our government, and let us resolve to place controls on that government so that it doesn't act with such discretionary whim. Because the reality is that we are better than this. We're better than the cowardice that led to our response to the pandemic. We're better than the police misconduct we see playing out in these cases and in the streets of these United States. And we're better than the petty differences that are played against the true power force in this country, the American people, by an elite government determined to keep control. Folks, notfreeamerica.com. Go to the website, fill out the form, let us know that you want to get involved. We are excited, because here's the fact. This is a transformative year for the United States of America. We finally get to choose. Who do we want to be? What kind of country do we want to be? Do you want to be free? If so, join me, notfreeamerica.com. Thanks, folks. Have a great night. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll see you tomorrow.